We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. It is a rapid reaction following Carolina's 56-45 win over Virginia Tech in a game that was anything but rapid. 3 hours and 41 minutes in Keenan Stadium. The Tar Heels go for more than 600 yards of total offense, 656, 399 yards rushing. And they were over 400 before taking a couple of knees late in the game. Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, each with career highs. Carter with 214 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. Williams, 169 yards rushing, two touchdowns. He added 55 in the air. Sam Howell threw just 5 incompletions. 3 of them were drops. Threw for 3 touchdowns in a game where he only had to throw the ball 23 times. Adam, what a weird flow of this game. Tar Heels jumped out to the big 21-0 advantage. Virginia Tech got it down to 21-14. Tar Heels pushed it back out to 42-17 midway third quarter. And I don't know about you, when it got to 42-17, I was like, oh, well, looks like we're on the way to beatdown city. And then Virginia Tech scores 20 points in less than 6 minutes of game action thanks to some explosive plays, recovering a surprise onside kick, Tar Heels going 3 and out. Although even when the Tar Heels went 3 and out, which they did a couple of times, the only way the Tar Heels were stopped was when they dropped passes. That was the only thing that stopped Carolina today. And to Carolina's credit, well, first, credit Virginia Tech, came back twice after being down in big, big deficits. And then extra credit to the Tar Heels for not wilting. Because, Adam, I think there have been seasons where the Tar Heels don't win that game somehow. And we'd be sitting here going, how did that happen? But what happened was the Tar Heels certainly have some things to fix. They need to get healthy on defense. But they never lost control of the game. Virginia Tech never had the ball with the chance to take the lead. And Carolina absolutely ran it right down Virginia Tech's throat all day long.
It was good. Wins are fun.
All right, everybody. Let me open this pack of nabs.
We're supposed to be rapid, right? I think you're completely right. I think when Virginia Tech started making that push, I think everyone on the Virginia Tech sideline felt like Carolina will fold. If we'll just keep playing the way we the Hokies are playing, we'll get ahead, they'll give in, and Carolina didn't do that, largely because the Tar Heels seem to be very good at running the ball. They have two very good running backs, is what I've noticed, and the offensive line played better. And, you know, Sam Howell, nice job, buddy. All you did was 18 for 23, and his passer rating was over 150, which was the highest of his career. So by passer rating, that was the best game he's played. And as you pointed out after the game, he should have been 21 of 23, but De'Ami Brown dropped two, and Michael Carter dropped one, but Michael Carter will let you slide. And De'Ami Brown, you did come back and make a huge touchdown catch, so all right. The offense, I don't know what you could say bad about the offense. I thought Phil Longo called a very good game. Like you, even though Carolina was having such success running it, I don't think you ever felt like, well, they're just going to run it every time. And he was creative with how they were running it. And sometimes the Tar Heels would throw some passes that were basically like runs. Sam Howell ran the ball just one time, which I think is a more comfortable number than the number of times he ran it last week at Chestnut Hill. I thought Carolina was smart in the fourth quarter, the way they used the clock offensively. We've certainly seen some times when some Tar Heel teams have had a lead and gone three and out in like 11 seconds. And that didn't happen even kind of early in the fourth quarter. Carolina was winding the play clock down as far as it could go. And since you felt like Virginia Tech could score pretty much any time it had the ball, it was important to keep them from having the ball.
Yeah, I thought Carolina very clearly wanted to get the ball out of Sam Howell's hands quickly early in the game. Get him in a rhythm, get some, I'll say easy, although we know nothing's easy, but easy completions. And I thought they did that really effectively. And then, you know, Adam, we've talked about patience. When the Tar Heels weren't trying to throw it down the field every single time, when they did, it was effective at what they were doing because they had beaten Virginia Tech up so much, both with the run game and the short to intermediate pass game, that then those big shots were there. And yeah, De'Ami Brown dropped two balls that I think 9 out of 10 times he catches. He is as good as anybody in the conference at catching those deep one-on-one balls. I mean, the second touchdown he had right before halftime, there was a lot of contact from the DB, and he just absorbed it, kept his feet. Virginia Tech's dude fell down, and he caught it for a huge touchdown. And I thought, and Adam, I know it kind of got lost because of all the craziness of the third quarter. I thought that was a really important stretch where I thought it was a very questionable decision for Virginia Tech to go for it on fourth down late in the first half around the 45 or whatever. It was fourth and three. It's easy, of course, to say when it doesn't work, but if you punt there, you're pinning Carolina back. The Tar Heels would probably have 95 yards to go or 85 yards or something to go with a little more than a minute on the clock and one timeout. Certainly doable, but that's a lot harder than having to go 50 yards with a minute 15 to go and a timeout. And so I just thought that was a really key moment where Carolina stretched it back out to 21 right before the break. You felt like the Tar Heels were in complete control, even more so midway third quarter before all the wackiness happened there in those last 6 minutes of that third quarter.
I thought it was even more of a curious choice because Virginia Tech was getting the ball to start the second half. So the by-the-book play there for sure was just punt the ball, try to keep Carolina from breaking some crazy 80-yard play, and then take the opening kickoff of the second half and try to make some progress. I think Virginia Tech was emboldened by how they had gotten Carolina to jump offside the fourth down right before that.
Yeah, that's the center for Virginia Tech, 76. He's the transfer, I think it's Hoffman. Was all in Gimmel's face after that play, and you could tell just the bravado had gone way up.
Well, the bravado bit him.
Yeah.
Because I think that encouraged Virginia Tech to go for it that next time when they tried to do that same thing. They tried to give it the big clap, which is like the new hard count when you give the hard clap. And Carolina didn't bite, and then they weren't able to complete the pass. And then, as you just said, I think people underrate how athletic it was for Brown, because his feet and the defender's feet got tangled up.
Both his touchdowns were the one where he got his foot down in the back of the end zone,
oh, yeah,
and then that one when he got tangled.
Yeah, I like the one in the back of the end zone. It's just like, yeah, nice catch, whatever. Yeah. But the other one, I'm not a finely tuned athlete, but if I get my feet tangled up with somebody, or for example, I'm trying to go up an escalator with suitcases.
Understood.
I'm going down.
Yeah.
And a normal human would have fallen to the ground, as the Virginia Tech defender did on that catch. For Brown to stay up, make the catch, have the concentration, because normally when you think you're about to fall, you're not still tracking a football, but he did. That was a huge play, and Carolina needed every single bit of that breathing room.
Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, Adam, they were the dominant force in this game. It's the first time ever that Carolina has had two backs run individually for this amount of yardage or more. I know that's a little confusing. It's not the most ever for two players in one game. That belongs to Derek Finner and someone.
Well, Derek Finner had like 320 by himself.
Right, no, yeah, he had, it was 400 yards combined, and Derek Finner had like 378 of it. Yeah. That's legitimate. But it's the first time ever that two backs have gone for 150 yards or more in a game. They both finished with 169 or more, because that's what Javonte Williams had, and then Carter had 214. And we've talked about these guys, but it's like this endless wave that comes at you if you're the opposition, because Javonte Williams is in there for three or four plays, then he'll go check out, and Carter will come in for three or four plays. And so you never feel like they're getting overextended or tired. They freely substitute, and they just were relentless against Virginia Tech.
I thought the textbook drive was in the third quarter, where Carolina basically ran it every time one of them was a
six plays.
Pass.
Yeah, there was the one that was called a pass because it was the pitch that technically was a little bit forward.
So Carter gains three, Carter gains four. Okay, sub him out, bring in Javonte Williams. Javonte gains 18, gains 14, gains 29. Oh, Javonte's tired. He's just gained 55 yards or whatever. Get him out of there. The defense thinks, whoo, we're going to get a break. Oh, no. Here comes Michael Carter with an absurd video game run where he, like, hits L1 and makes a little juke move in the center of the field. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was, like, his third best play of the day. But that was a great drive, and that shows what the Carolina running game can be. Because if you're an opposing defense, you're used to getting a break at some point, and they just don't give you a break.
I thought Carolina blocked really well all day up front. The offensive linemen, of course. But the receivers blocked well. You know, Corrales was blocking a lot on the edge. Garrett Walston was blocking a lot on the edge from the tight end spot. And, of course, it's more times than not, it is a full team effort when you are able to do crazy rushing numbers like this. The backs get all the credit, and understandably why. But I thought the Tar Heels blocked, particularly in the run game, extraordinarily well.
I'm not technically proficient enough to grade Corrales' run-blocking acumen, but what I can tell you is he's in there every time.
Yeah.
He's in the play, and he's committed to blocking, and there's no halfway, like, I'm going to kind of casually push this guy. He's trying to do damage, and it's not a coincidence that you see him out in front of so many of those big Carolina runs.
Defensively, Adam.
No, this is not as fun as the offensive part.
Well, I thought Carolina was fine defensively in the first half. The second half was not as fine. Certainly, Virginia Tech changed quarterbacks, and Hooker's a good player. I don't know necessarily that made all the difference, although he made a couple of nice plays. I do think Carolina at times looked a little tired defensively, particularly in that third quarter when they were on the field forever in that stretch where Tech scored, got the onside kick, scored. Carolina went three and out. Tech scored. I mean, you just felt like, oh, man. And it did feel like the Tar Heels were on the field too much. Absolutely, they were without three starters, which makes a difference. Duck, Conley, and Vohasek. The good news is in talking to some folks, it seems like Vohasek and Conley will be back sooner rather than later. Duck probably a little longer. But that you're getting some of those guys back. But no matter who was out there, I thought, and Mac Brown said this with us afterwards, there was some poor tackling. And also there were some times when I thought it was too easy for Virginia Tech to run. Now, they're good at it. We know that. We talked about it. We said they're going to get some. But I think Jay Bateman's going to be disappointed with that second half, I would think.
Gave up 31 points in the second half, and those were all offensive points. It wasn't like there was a pick six in there. I thought, and I think this goes to the injury issues, It seemed like Carolina had a very hard time deciding who they wanted on the field regularly.
Well, there was a lot of substitution defensively. I think some of that was to try to match up with personnel. Carolina played with three inside linebackers a lot, which is something they have not done very much, but they would have Asante, Surratt, and Gimmel on the field, plus two outside backers, then the guys up front. And so then they would have that, then they'd want to go to nickel. And I think also, you know, Morrison was playing nickelback when they were nickel, then he dropped to safety when they were in more of a base look. And so there were just a lot of moving parts, which I do think goes back to some of just being down some personnel-wise. I mean, think the two safeties that started the season were Don Chapman and Miles Wolfolk. Wolfolk's off the team, and Chapman went down. So all of a sudden you had Cameron Kelly, who was playing for the first time since the Clemson game last year. And at one point Giovanni Biggers was in there, who's a good young player, but has been a backup so far early in his career. So it was, I do think some of that substitution was to match up, and some of that was because they were having guys do multiple things. There was a lot of moving parts to try to say, okay, now you're doing this on this play, and now we're changing to do this on this play. And it's just a lot of different things going on.
I think when you go back and watch the game, you'll see five or six times where the Carolina defense is still talking to each other as the ball is snapped. And I think part of that's youth, and part of that's inexperience, and part of that's everything you just said. All that being said, great to see Kelly back out there. Great to see our friend, yes, Patrice Rene.
Absolutely.
Who was on the video pod and did a great job. He had a couple nice plays, a couple nice tackles, and there's no substitute for game speed, which neither one of those two have had.
And I do think, particularly with a guy like Cameron Kelly or Giovanni Biggers or even Asante and Kadre Jackson, who came in and played some, that's where losing the Charlotte game I do think really hurts, because assuming that Carolina does what you would have thought the Tar Heels would do in that game, which is have a comfortable lead in the second half, then you can play a lot of those guys and let them get some reps, have them make some mistakes, have them make some good plays, but get out there and see the speed of the game and be in it. So then if you need Gio Biggers to come in for four plays against Virginia Tech, it's not as big a deal as maybe it is currently. Now, those guys are getting thrown into the fire. In fact, Adam, I mean, there was a big defensive drive for Carolina when the Heels had taken it back. Virginia Tech had cut it down to 5. Tar Heels got it back up to 12 on the Daz Newsome touchdown on the swing pass. And then they ended up allowing 4 plays and forcing a punt, I believe. That's right. The first couple plays of that drive, Carolina had reserves in on the D-line. Zach Gill was out there. I think Miles Murphy was out there for the Tar Heels. And then they brought in the regulars for that third down. That's when Tamari Fox had one of the bigger defensive plays of the game by sacking Hooker. It was Surratt that blew the pocket up, forced Hooker to move up, and Tamari Fox and Tamon Fox got in there late too and took down Hooker. And so that was an important play where some young guys had been a part of that defensive possession, is my point. And then some of the other guys came in. I tell you what, Tamari Fox is good. When he and Vohasek are, and hopefully Vohasek's back very soon, yeah, you've got a pretty good front couple of guys there.
I think Jaleel Taylor's pretty
good. Yeah, Taylor played well. Kamen Rucker, good young player. The Tar Heel defense, I think, is better than the stats tell you it was today. This was a weird game at times in that second half, I think, for the Tar Heel defense.
Well, if you're a Carolina football fan, you understand what it means when I say this. There have been times that Carolina in the past has had to put young players out there, and when you watch them play, you think, I'm not sure they have the ability. They're young, and I'm not sure they're good enough. Carolina is now playing young players that it looks like might be able to play, but they don't have the experience. That's far preferable to the other scenario, and bodes well for the future.
Another young guy who I thought had a semi-important play in the game, when Carolina had gotten it back up to 19 and Virginia Tech tried that reverse pass back to the quarterback, which they completed, but Grimes was the one who was out there, and I mean, he may have been the one who was supposed to be covered, but he recovered and made that a, you know, not ideal. I think Tech scored or got 20 yards or something, but he didn't let it become a touchdown. Tech did eventually score, but it took them several more plays and more time off the clock So just one of those plays where good, heady play by Grimes, even if he didn't do everything right, he saved some time and score there for Carolina, which I thought was good.
The film might prove me wrong, but watching it live, I thought Virginia Tech outsmarted themselves on that play. If that's just a reverse instead of a throw, I think they may have scored on that play.
Yeah.
But they added in the throw, which was a throw to the quarterback.
And I slowed it down a little bit, allowed right. Carolina to recover.
Right.
Daz Newsome, Adam, we talked some about Daz certainly during the broadcast last week, and I think maybe we talked about it on the podcast too, where he had this three catches. It was pretty obvious Carolina wanted to get him the ball early, get him involved. He had some big catches, scored twice, and was a big part of this win for Carolina.
The first couple of drives reminded me of Carolina basketball, and like Justin Jackson or somebody has only gotten two shots in the first half, and Carolina comes right out of halftime and goes straight to him. That's what it felt like Carolina was doing to Daz Newsome. You target him seven times. He catches all seven. He also got a rushing attempt. I think that's the kind of weapon he can be, and you see how good the offense looks when the first thing that happens in the game is Virginia Tech goes, well, we got to keep up with Newsome because they're throwing it to him. Well, then the offense goes out and puts up 56 points and a million yards. So the Carolina offense is good.
Well, this was the offense everybody thought it was going to be from the very beginning, which, again, let's not act like the Tar Heels were bad in the first two games. I think it was some unique scenarios against some teams that were probably better defensively than the hype. And I don't know this. I'm going to guess the Tar Heels didn't open the playbook 100% for Syracuse and BC. They know which games are the ones that, I mean, you want to win them all, but this was a game that was a critical game for the direction of the season. They knew that. And yeah, I mean, this isn't breaking news. They have so many good guys to get the ball to. And so Daz Newsome had three catches in the first 2 weeks and Carolina still moved the football. They're hard to stop. They are hard. I mean, again, the only way they got stopped today was when they dropped passes. That was it. They made Virginia Tech was not close to running backs for like the first 7 to 12 yards oftentimes. It was a dominating offensive performance.
Most points in the first half allowed by Virginia Tech since they joined the league.
Most points Carolina's ever scored against Virginia Tech. And they could have scored at the end.
I wish they had.
There's a word I'm looking for that I'm not going to use, Adam. But it got a little chippy there at the end.
If I had known that that was going to happen, I definitely wish they would have scored and then onside kicked, recovered, and thrown the Hail Mary.
What was that?
That was a frustrated in-state player who realizes he made the wrong choice.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, Adam, all in all, again, something we've said after every week, plenty of things to improve on. I think the penalties still got to get better. 10 of them again. Mac Brown said that with us after the game on the Tar Heel Sports Network. That's something the Heels want to get better at. They need to get healthy on defense. They are not to the point yet. I think maybe in a couple seasons, if recruiting continues to go, they might be. They're not there yet that they can afford to lose three starters on defense and not expect to have some kind of step back. That's just the truth.
Yeah, it's not Brian Simmons coming behind
right.
the current starters.
They're just not there yet.
Right.
And that is in no way saying something negative about the second string guys. They're just, a lot of them are freshmen or redshirt freshmen. And so they're just not quite there yet to be able to withstand that. So they need to get those guys healthy. I don't even know what, at the time that we are recording this, let me see if I can figure out what Florida State's doing. They play Notre Dame. I can't remember if it's this evening or if it occurred earlier in the day. You guys just wait right there while I check my score app on my phone.
This part of the reactions is not rapid. It's a little more drawn out.
Yeah, this is a little bit more like that third quarter, seemingly taking forever. Okay, it's a 7:30 kick between Florida State and Notre Dame. So, Adam, as soon as we're done with this rapid reaction, you go on home, you get yourself a nice cool beverage, and you watch a little Seminoles Irish along with Miami versus Clemson. It's just a big old day in the ACC per usual.
Yeah, that's right. I will say it's hard to be a Carolina football fan. Virginia Tech had owned the series. Carolina had only played in five games this century where both teams were ranked. Only five. And the Tar Heels were 1-4 in those five.
Check it, Adam. 2-4.
After today. And Carolina fans deserve to be in Keenan Stadium for that game and get to enjoy Carolina beating Virginia Tech.
I did think 3,500 fans made it. It felt like a football game more than either of the previous two games. I'm not saying it was like you were in the Thunderdome or something, but there was. It just felt a little bit more normal.
Well, and I know this
7% normal. I'd say.
Yeah, this seems very obvious, but sitting there, like, you missed, like, being packed in there with your fellow Tar Heel fans. And when Michael Carter breaks a big run,
dude, that place would have been rocking.
You high five some stranger.
Yeah.
And you didn't get to do that because the stranger was like three sections over.
Yeah. Gave him an air five.
Yeah. Like, made eye contact and like raised an eyebrow.
I mean, that was a nice run by Michael Carter.
Yeah. That doesn't have quite the same adrenaline boost that you would have in a full stadium. But I do. The ones who were there were great.
Yes.
The Virginia Tech fans who were there were Virginia Tech fans.
Also true.
And just so nice to get a win over a ranked Virginia Tech team that had some buzz. And now get ready, because the Carolina train is leaving the station nationally, I think.
Well,
because they're going to play Florida State, who everybody wants to be good.
Right. Well, and I'm going to tell you something. Somebody tweeted me after the game. It's like, five games. Yeah, Carolina could be undefeated going into Thanksgiving. It's like, dude, what? At Florida State, NC State, who's 3-1 and wants nothing more in life than to beat Carolina. Then you go to Virginia, not exactly a walk in the park for Tar Heel football through the years. Every week, especially this year where it's 95% conference games, every week you can win, every week you can lose. More this year, I think, than ever before. And so, enjoy this one. But understand that it's going to be another big-time matchup next week. Absolutely.
There's not a single game left on the schedule, depending on if Western Carolina is actually on the schedule.
Sure.
Where you feel like, oh, the Tar Heels don't even, you know, they can play 60% and win that game. Carolina played, what, like 90% in that game against Virginia Tech and won 56-45. So let's all be glad they didn't play 85%, because that could have been a loss. You're never as good as you think you are. You're never as bad as you think you are. Carolina's good. Not sure how good, but there's going to be a lot of talk about them.
I would like to just give you a couple notes from the grease board of Jody Z before we get out of here. Jody Zeugner, our statistician, which, by the way, this is one of those games where, oof, thank goodness Jody Z was there.
Yeah.
There's just so much happening that you're trying to check all these numbers. You're trying to check last time this happened while doing the game. It was crazy.
Did Lil Cassio peek his head out of your classy backpack and then whimper and go back in?
You know, it's so funny. Jody has like a medium Cassio. Mm-hmm. It's not a little Cassio, but it's like Lil Cassio's eighth grade brother,
right?
You know, and so I let middle school Cassio do all the work for this one.
Lil Cassio,
he was a little stressed. Yeah. He was a little stressed. Just the fourth time this century. So from 2000 on, Adam, if you don't understand what that meant.
Oh yes,
that a back has gone for more than 200 yards for Carolina. Ronnie McGill, take that, Wake Forest, 2003. I think that was one of two victories the Heels had all year. Ronnie McGill had 244. Geo, in that whiteout game against Virginia Tech, he had 262 yards rushing in 2012. Not bad. And Elijah Hood, 220 against State in 2015 as well. This is the first time since that State game in 2015 that Carolina's had two backs go over 100. That day, Logan had 100 in addition to the 220 that Hood had.
This game reminded me a little bit of the Geo game, because even when Carolina was up 21,
the Geo Virginia Tech game or the Geo NC State?
The
game?
Real Geo game.
Oh, okay.
The real Geo game, right, against State. Even when Carolina was up 21-0 in the first quarter, I don't know about you, I still felt like it was going to be close. I didn't think Carolina was going to win 84-0.
Right.
Although that would have been fantastic. But it just, and Carolina started the Geo game with a big burst. They had on the shiny helmets. But you just felt like this is going to get closer. And it did, and this one did, but the Tar Heels had just enough.
Carter and Williams, combine for 383 yards rushing, 453 yards of total offense. The record for two backs rushing, this is what we were talking about earlier, 400. Derek Fenner had 328, which is the school record. James Thompson added 72. A solid day for James Thompson, but one that will be forgotten.
Probably because 11 defenders were looking at Derek Fenner, and James Thompson was sneaking out of the backfield like, where is everybody?
So they had 400 that day. So that's that point I was making earlier. I think that's a little bit of a confusing stat, but I also think it's a really impressive stat. So that's why I'm trying to make sure people understand. Okay, we're back on Tuesday. We'll give final thoughts on this game. We'll hear, we'll talk about whatever Mack Brown talks about on Monday some. Plus we have, I mentioned this on the radio broadcast, mm-hmm. Adam. I went ahead and gave it away.
I heard it.
Leon Johnson. And if you're like of Adam and my age, then I know you're pumped for Leon Johnson because he was a big-time running back for the Heels in the early to mid-90s, went on to an NFL career with a couple different spots, including the Jets, I think the Bears maybe too, and one other stop. So I am looking forward to that. I'll give you a sneak peek. We've already talked to Leon Johnson, and we had a great time.
He was as good an interview as he was a threat out of the backfield.
Kind of reminded me of the Natron Means interview.
Yeah.
Just like good old jovial time.
Well, and it helped that we were so giddy to talk to him.
Yeah.
Like we were all friends by the end of that interview.
Of course we are. Of course we are. Adam, anything else?
I continue to think the Tar Heels need to get special teams cleaned up just a little bit.
Let's see.
The onside kick was a surprise, but the Tar Heels weren't close to it. They just look a little unsure on kickoffs, like when the ball is actually in play, which is hardly ever. Oh, which by the way, Jonathan Kim.
Love Jonathan Kim.
You're an awesome kicker, and that was a pretty sweet tackle.
Yeah, it was it? I tell you, if he didn't make that tackle,
it was a touchdown.
I think that was going to be trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't like he sort of reached in and Herbert fell over. He put some pads on him.
I bet people who probably are listening to the games are tired of me talking about Jonathan Kim because it blows. What is so stunning to me about his kickoffs is they do the exact same thing every time. They hit like 8 to 9 yards deep in the end zone in the exact same spot every time for a no-doubt touchback. There was one where he was a little bit shorter than that in this particular game. It only hit like 2 yards deep, and his fellow kickers were giving a mess as he was going to the sideline. Like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?
I bet when Jonathan Kim goes to drive shack and you have to hit the ball in the little circle every single time, that's no problem for him. Yeah. I bet when he goes to the cradle, right at the pin every single time.
Dominates that short course.
Yeah.
Be careful on holes 4 and 9. We know it gets a little wacky sometimes. All in all, long day, big day, strong day, but a good day for the Tar Heels.
A game being played, that's a win.
Yeah, win number one.
And actual win number two, that's a good Saturday.
Adam, I know after the Syracuse game we had Katrina get us out of here. Would you be against Michael Carter getting us out of here?
I feel as though he has earned that right.
Michael Carter, you and the Rizzo will get us out of here. So we're back. Remember, double pods, triple pods if you count the video pod. Coming up next week, Tuesday, audio pod. Thursday, video pod. Friday, audio pod. Saturday, Florida State. Here we go. Let's let Michael Carter and the Rizzo get us out of here. After another edition of the Carolina Insider.
Hey, it's Michael Carter. Just wanted to let you know, Big Eric, I agree with you. And, you know, I'll see you soon, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
Feeling the spirit. See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.